Speaking with Matt Youngman, let's talk Farm Progress Show, and I guess we can kind of begin our conversation. How does one go from a physical show to a virtual show? And you say, well, the example is 2020. So Matt Youngman, take it away. How is that going?
You know, it's full of challenges. I'm learning all kinds of new words and phrases, and I never knew what the word taxonomy meant, and now I'm building websites and learning about all those kind of things. And the thing that's unique about it is none of our exhibitors know how to do this either. They're all really good at trucking in equipment, building tents, and setting up graphics, and getting the pressure washers and air conditioning and food vendors and fuel, and they're used to doing all of that. But even them trying to set up whatever the virtual exhibit is going to look like and what's the best way for them to promote their products, it is not only us learning how but make the show, it's us spending a lot of our hours in making sure that the exhibitors get the maximum value out of it too, because, and I think the same thing is going to happen as we go through the September 15th, 16th, 17th dates of the events. The farmers don't necessarily know how to interact. They know how to get around the Farm Progress Show, and they know how to get around Husker Harvest Days, but getting around these new virtual templates and getting out of it what they're trying to get done there, you know, there's going to be a learning curve for them as well.
You know, the other interesting thing when you talk about this, and I applaud everyone involved, it's one thing if you went back to 2019 in, say, August or July of last year, and they say, Youngman, we're going to do a virtual show a year out. You probably can get something accomplished. Well, you look at 2020, and what do you get? Maybe a two-month or three-month window to kind of go from a physical show to a virtual show. Just talk about that, I guess.
So it's been you're exactly right. It's been a transition all the way along, because when this thing came around in March, we were all standing together at Commodity Classic in early March in San Antonio saying, wow, this is really something. Thank God it's going to be over by the time we've got to worry about it. Well, then it just kind of grinds along, and eventually you figure out that there's going to be some people that don't want to come to a live in-person Farm Progress Show, so we better have some kind of virtual component. So we spent April and May and a lot of June looking at, all right, so what's the companion virtual event going to look like? And then things start to spike in Arizona, Texas, and Florida, and things get, you know, it starts to get crazy, and then all of a sudden it transitions from a companion event to, this is all we've got. We've got to have the best virtual presentation of a trade show in the agri that we possibly can, and that's like going from a load that you could pull with a half-ton truck or maybe even your Tahoe to now we've got a semi-load of work to do, and we've got to completely rebuild the infrastructure and get ourselves in a place where 600 exhibitors and 75 pieces of field demonstration equipment and 50 independent different sessions and content pieces can be promoted into this thing. It's been a last minute thing since we ever started hearing anything about COVID, because the goalposts kept changing, and now we know what the goalposts are, and we're now into the implementation mode where we have our platform and we have the exhibitors and we have everybody. Now we're recording a ton of content so that when we start to roll this thing out on September 15th, there's some really cool stuff for the visitors to experience.
Yeah, I think about it using, you know, a sports analogy, and I know you can call the Farm Progress Show kind of the Super Bowl of trade shows. And, you know, when some of these sporting events get canceled, the Final Four, whatever that be, you don't get the opportunity to host that event. Now, this year, so, you know, the Farm Progress Show is every other year. You know, the economic impact of Boone, Iowa losing out a year, you have to feel for some of those people that, you know, and you know, we talk about the state fair in Springfield, not getting to do that this year, all these county fairs from a local level, we can talk about financial impact. But, you know, it's disheartening, too, for the people economically that rely on, you know, that foot traffic coming to that part of the state in Iowa this year and not getting the chance to have that.
So I will echo exactly what you said and add to that a lot of these folks are friends. We've been going to Boone, Iowa since 2008 every other year, and I grew up in Central Iowa, and these are a lot of friends that I have built really strong relationships with, or they are people that, you know, they're kind of family friends because I know them from history. And it is sad to have to make this decision because you know that you're hurting the livelihood and the extension of that, in addition to the restaurants, the hotels, and the service providers, and everybody that it takes to put the show together, that just are not getting their part of this $25 million economic impact. I'm worried about tent vendors and landscapers and decorators and pressure washers and electricians and air conditioning vendors and everybody that it takes. They may not necessarily be right there from Central Iowa, but I count on these people, and I hope that they are able to hold their business together through this, and there are some of them that are really in question, not because of poor management or mismanagement or anything else, but they just haven't done anything in a year. They're going to go a year without putting up a tent, or they're going to go a year without doing any electrician work at a trade show. So I sure hope that they're around, but I can't help but think that some of these industries and some of these individual people that I send Christmas cards to are not going to be in this business anymore when this thing all flushes completely out.
Yeah, and we talk about, you know, being a victim of circumstance, and you explain that very well. And, you know, when whatever story you want to follow, right, you can follow this, you know, we talk about, you know, county fairs, right? So we look at the calendar. Well, surely we'll be able to have this county fair. Well, you know, this day goes by, this week goes by. Well, you see, well, now they have to cancel it. You talk about any of these small town festivals, you know, day goes by. Well, can we have it? Nope, doesn't look like it. You know, you look at sports, you know, high school sports or whatever, college sports, can we do it? You know, these agonizing, excruciating days we wait. Well, is this going to change? Are things going to get better? Are we going to be able to have it? So can you take us through kind of your emotions with this Farm Progress show where you hope for the best, which I know you guys were, hoping that you're going to have it, announcing that you're going to have it. But, you know, when you look at data, science, and numbers, you say, well, I don't think we can do it with all these people converging in one location. So what about the emotional roller coaster for you and the people you work with?
You know, you really summed it up, and you nailed it really well by calling it an emotional roller coaster, because we did. We spent, I cannot tell you how many hours from a lot of very smart people, and we're fortunate to be part of a really big organization. So we had really smart people from around the globe, you know, Dubai and London and our Dallas team and our New York team and our trade show, our farm show team that I'm part of. And, you know, we spent a full month, three times a week, in a 3-hour Zoom call, working out exactly how are we going to safely do this. And we come up with a plan that's pretty darn good. And you know, right all the way up to the governor of Nebraska and the governor of Iowa, you know, signed off on it and really supported it. And we thought we were in a good place. And then all of a sudden, the numbers started to go crazy in the states that had started to open up. And we started to hear from primarily our international exhibitors and our volunteers that staff things, saying we do not feel safe looking at these numbers. So you stack the science into it, and you have to make that you know, heartbreaking decision. And I watched some through a Zoom call. I watched some really tough people that I respect really well in tears, because we had worked so hard to try to figure out a way to have these events. And then it's not like the rug gets pulled out from underneath you, because you just see it coming. You just know these numbers are telling us that we can't do this. So all of this work that we've done to try to put this thing together was for naught. And now you've got to pull yourself together and say, all right, we've still got this job of making sure that the people that produce our food, fiber, and fuel have a way to interact well with their service providers or the people that are going to provide them that next solution that helps them stay in business. And so now it's got to be virtual. And so honestly, you know, you just kind of send out the press release and suck it up and get on to work with figuring out how to do this virtually, because we all want to get back together. This is not, despite what some folks might want to say, this is not the long-term solution. The long-term solution is to get past this, weeks, and we'll all be back together in person in Decatur, Illinois in 2021, and we can all very much look forward to that, because this is not the best way to market the product. We're going to do the very best we can, and we'll have the best one out there. But we're all just waiting for 2021 so we can get back together in person.
Yeah, and I am too. But you know, the interesting thing too, that now when I look at things where you talk about people getting together, and you look at events, you think, well, is 2021 that far away? And when you're planning events and you're dealing with the pandemic, you probably say, no, it's not. I know when we talk about, you know, we're 4 months into this thing. So if you look back in March, when you talk about giving the example of the Commodity Classic, and like, what has really changed since mid-March? I don't know. It doesn't look like a lot has changed.
Just last night, my wife and I were talking about that. The last work trip that I made, I've been stuck in my basement since my last work trip, which was Commodity Classic it was late August or late February, early March. And I went through the Houston airport, and it was a ghost town. That's the last work trip that I went on, and that very well could be the next one that I go on. I may spend a year here without making any real significant, you know, trip to any other event. We're gonna record field demonstrations, do social distancing, and we're gonna get the core of our big field demo type exhibitors together to record these demonstrations. But in all reality, we're gonna go a year without doing any of this live, in-person, handshake-based marketing, talking to each other.
Yeah, and, you know, you explain it, that the human contact is, we're really missing that in whatever the sector you're involved in professionally or personally. So tell us, how does it work for you? I know you're involved in a farming operation in Western Illinois and near Warren in Mercer County. Your wife's family is from that area. Yet you're promoter, spokesman for two big trade shows with the Farm Progress Show and Husker Harvest Days. How do you make that work logistically? Now, I know everybody now is working remotely. I get that, okay? But I mean, how do you make that work pre-COVID-19, when we talked about physical things and there wasn't Zoom meetings and there wasn't working remotely per se, you had to be on the job. So how do you make that work?
So that's a great question, Jim. I've been doing this remote thing since I started doing this job, whether it was working on site when the Farm Progress Show used to move around. You know, you would move in January to whatever state was hosting the Farm Progress Show. You'd move in and build it and tear it back down. And then that transitioned to working from home. So it hasn't been realistically all that much of a change for me, other than my kids watch a lot of YouTube and suck up all the video, all the internet. When I'm trying to have Zoom calls, they're using up all my internet.
Everybody can relate to that has kids.
that's exactly right. So, you mentioned that we farm here with my wife's family in Western Illinois, and my job is most certainly a full-time job, building these shows and tearing them down and cleaning them up, but it's awfully intense for certain portions of the year. Through the winter months, I spend a lot of time on the road at the indoor farm shows in Louisville or Commodity Classic or the New York farm show that we own at the New York State Fairgrounds. And then, as you can imagine, as you lead up to shows that are in early and mid September for Farm Progress Show and Husker Harvest Days, it's really intense from Memorial Day all the way through those shows. And fortunately, I work for a really good company, and the people in the company are really good, and they realize that they just kind of let me, once we get the bills paid and we get everything swept up from the year's shows, they let me walk away for a little bit, and I kind of turn into a semi-driver to haul the grain away from the field for a few months there in the fall, and realistically, that allows me to decompress from from that pretty intense summer and early fall time. And then, you know, the joke is right there at some point in November or December, I've got to go back to the real job. And the real job is to make sure that the upcoming Farm Progress Show and Husker Harvest Days are as good as they can be. And so we kind of start the cycle over again. And it's really a pretty smooth system. Everybody around here's pretty flexible and kind of understands that sometimes the phone rings and I have got to take this call, and so they don't ask me to run that hard when that needs to happen.
And then just back to the Farm Progress Show for this year, you know, deciding to go to the virtual experience when you're having the internal conversations about, well, we can't have an in-person physical event. So what was the talk of just saying, is it worth it to do some virtual experience compared to, you know, this in-person event, which people are so accustomed to? I mean, apparently you really felt that you had to present something. I mean, that's the bottom line, basically.
Yeah, technology changes so fast. You know, we were going to, the big thing at the Farm Progress Show and Husker this year, we're going to be the autonomy. There's been some giant leaps taken just in the last year in terms of what's come to the market. Not prototype things that actually are on the market and sellable, that autonomy can replace human labor and human capital on the farm. Those are for real things, and then every segment of it has something like that. So we still have to communicate those advancements and figure out the best way to make sure that growers are aware of the technology or the new products or programs that are available from any of these exhibitors that want to be there. And I would say it's not necessarily just the John Deere's or the Bears or Corteva's or Case IH's or name your big company. It is right down to welding shops that are coming out with some new patented thing that's going to make your planter operate better, or your head chute, you know, a better head chute, safer head chute for the livestock or something like that. We've still got to set this platform that allows the growers to learn about these things and make contact with those vendors that are still trying to make a livelihood in selling these products.
All right. One more to just change directions a little bit here, talking with Matt Youngman, involved in the Farm Progress Show and Husker Harvest Days. I know where you're at. You're actively engaged in the local county fair scene and your kids show livestock. And we know, you know, all of these county fairs were canceled now. I know there were, you know, some virtual competitions, so kids getting involved in that. But now, as we talk today, we're recording this interview, I think, July 28th, you know, the Illinois Department of Agriculture announced last month, hey, we're gonna do something for the kids, and we're going to, you know, have a junior livestock show with the state fairgrounds late August, early September. How important do you think that was for the kids of Illinois and the Department of Ag to move forward on something like that?
You know, I'll speak about how we took that, and it has probably been different for every barn in the state of Illinois, but we still needed that in order for us to have a normal summer. You know, if the kids don't have that to take care of, it's not a normal summer, and everybody just stands around with their, you know, with their hands in their pockets, not knowing what to do next. So being able to care for the animals, go through the process, we didn't get a lot of the fun stuff. There was, you know, there was no corn dogs, and there was no kind of the fun parts, some of the fun parts and the social parts. You know, it's a little bit, those county fairs and state fairs are a little bit of a family reunion where you only get to see this person that one time. There's a lot of that that's just lost. But the parts of it that we could do, which is try to present the best possible animal that we could, it made things feel a little bit normal. And so, and I can tell you as somebody that puts on events for a living, the decisions that the people that had to cancel these things had to make were very challenging. Those are not easy decisions to make, and you are going to be wrong with about 50% of the people that have any vote in it. So it is most certainly a no-win situation to be in. So I respect all these folks that had to make the decisions to cancel these things, and I respect the people that are still trying to hang on to the best parts of it that they can. So, you know, it's a tough call all the way through. We were fortunate to do pretty well in the steer show this year, but you know, nobody ever got to see that animal, and we didn't get to hang out with the people that we normally do.